they would go forward. And by the way, he shows them in Jeremiah chapter number 7 how to do that. We're going to see that tonight. But the Bible says in verse 24, but they did what? They hearkened not. We know what that means. It means they disregarded. They didn't listen. They didn't obey. They didn't take it to heart, if you will. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear. We know, do you know what the word inclined means? We've talked about that before. What does that word mean? Miss Jo just did it. It means to bend the ear. It means to get in a little closer and to hear what's going on. And the Bible says, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart. Now, by the way, the nation of Israel had gone through this in the book of Judges. And we mentioned that Sunday, cycle after cycle after cycle, they would sin, they would go into captivity, God would send a judge, a deliverer, if you will, and He would bring them out of captivity. They would have rest for a while, for maybe 20 years, 40 years, or how many ever years, but then they would go back into sin. And in Judges chapter number 17 and in Judges chapter number 21, the Bible speaks about the fact that they did that which was right, how? In their own eyes. They did that which was right in their own eyes. They had no point of authority. They did not listen to God and His Word. They did everything based on their own opinions. And that's what the Bible says here in Jeremiah 7, verse number 24. They walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. And tonight, I just want to give you three steps, not steps, but just three truths that we find in Jeremiah chapter number 7 that will help us to go forward and not backward. And by the way, they all mesh together. They're not mutually exclusive. And we'll see that tonight. But I want to give us three truths that we find here in Jeremiah chapter number 7, three actions, whatever term we want to use there, that will help us to go forward as we think about that matter of advancing and not go backward. Let's pray and ask God to help, and then we'll look at these three truths tonight. Father, we sure do love You. We're grateful to have the opportunity to be in this place tonight. And Father, I pray that You'd help us to never take that for granted. We have seen in recent weeks and months that this wonderful opportunity of meeting together in a house of worship has been taken away from some folks. And Father, so I pray that we would never take that for granted, that we would always relish the opportunity to gather with Your people and to fellowship together and to encourage each other. And so, Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to be here tonight. I thank You for these, Your dear people that have gathered here together tonight. I pray that You would help and teach from Your Word. I pray that You'd use Jeremiah chapter 7 in our hearts tonight to remind us of some truths, to remind us, maybe tonight, maybe we're slacking a little bit, maybe we're not on the right path tonight. And I pray that Jeremiah chapter 7 would help us to recognize maybe some things in our lives that we need to get right with You. So Lord, teach us tonight. Father, be with our children and our teenagers that are meeting in the gym. Lord, I pray that You'd use the Word in their hearts tonight. Father, for our teenagers, if there would be one here tonight that has never been saved, I pray that tonight would be their night of salvation. I pray the same for our young people. Lord, I pray that Your Word would prick hearts. I pray that Your Word, as Your Word says it will do, it will divide. It's quick, it's powerful. And Father, I pray that it would do what You desire for it to do tonight. Father, be with those that are away from us tonight, those that are sick, some just out of pocket tonight. We pray that You would help them. Lord, I do pray for Brother Kevin and Miss Heather. I pray that You give them a safe flight home tomorrow. And I pray that You'd help Miss Heather to, Lord, just to be able to get home and rest. And I know she's excited to do so. And I pray that You just allow them a safe and a smooth trip. And Lord, we do pray once again that You'd remove that tumor from her brain. Father, I pray that You would do a miracle in her physical body. And I pray that You'd heal her body from that sickness. Father, we love You tonight. Help us. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Let me give you the first truth tonight, or the first action. How are we going to go forward and not go backward? Well, number one, the first thing we need to do is to acknowledge, or the first thing they needed to do, the first thing we need to do is to acknowledge our wickedness. Notice, if you will, Let's begin in verse number 8. We'll come back and read verses 1 through 7 in just a moment. But let's begin in verse number 8. The Bible says, "Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit." By the way, let's do this. Let's go back to verse number 1 just to get the context. Jeremiah has come. He's come to the gate of the temple. And the Bible says that there are people coming to worship. Look at verse number 1. "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house." That's the temple. That's where they come to worship. He says, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates." What's the next phrase? What are the next four words? These people, these Israel, the people of Judah, they were coming to the temple and they thought they were worshiping. That's why they were coming. They thought, we're coming to worship. We're coming to this temple and we're going to worship. But in God's eyes, they weren't no more worshiping than anything. And the reason being is because their hearts weren't right with God. Listen, we can come to the church house every single Sunday, every Wednesday night, every time we have revival services, every time we have a missions conference. We can come to this place, to this house, to this building. We can come, but we can come in here with wrong hearts. And if we come in here with wrong hearts, hearts that aren't right with God, and try to feign worship, it is vain and useless. And we see that here in Jeremiah chapter 7. If there's ever an example, an illustration of people that were saying, hey, we are worshiping, we are serving God, we are worshiping God, but weren't, it's these folks right here. They were coming with wicked hearts. They were coming with wrong hearts. Verse number 3, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." And by the way, just a reference, and we'll see it later on, but just a reference to the tabernacle in Shiloh where God had destroyed it because they were not serving Him the way that they should. He said, look, if you'll do what's right, I'll let this place stand. I'll let this place stay here. I'll let you dwell and habitate and worship in this place. Verse 4, "Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye throughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye throughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow." You see, he starts to give a little bit of a catalog of what they were doing, some of the sins that they were partaking in. They were oppressing the stranger. They were oppressing the fatherless. They were oppressing the widow. They were shedding innocent blood. He said, "Shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. Then will I cause you to dwell in this place." See, he says it a second time. "Then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever." He said, "Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit." You see, God reserved His strongest condemnation to the priest and to the prophets, to the preachers, because they weren't giving the people what they needed. They weren't confronting the people with their sin. They were preaching and they were telling them what they wanted to hear. Kind of like in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul says there will come a time when they cannot stand sound doctrine, and they'll have itching ears. They'll just want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear truth. And he says, "Behold," verse number 8, "ye trust in lying words that cannot profit." By the way, if you go to the doctor, you know this illustration, but if you go to the doctor and you have a serious ailment, you want him to tell you the truth, don't you? Well, the priests and the prophets and the preachers weren't telling the people the truth. They had a serious spiritual illness. They weren't right with God, and nobody was telling them the truth. Verse 9, notice this. "Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Get the picture. Jeremiah is standing in the gate. God is telling him to bring this message to the people. And he's telling these people that are coming to worship, he said, during the week, all week long, you are stealing, you are murdering, you are committing adultery, you are swearing falsely, you are burning incense to Baal, you are walking after other gods whom you don't even know. You're walking after other gods. And then you come and you stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and you say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Hey, can I submit to you tonight? That sounds like a lot of our churches today. That sounds like the perverted grace that is taught in many of our churches today. You can live like you want to live during the week, but God's grace has covered you. You're saved. You're under the grace. By the way, I believe in the grace of God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 tells us that, for by grace are you saved. I believe in grace, but I don't believe in the perverted grace that is being preached in so many places today. And I don't think you do either. That says that we can live any way that we want to live, and the grace of God covers us, and we don't have to answer for it. That's exactly what these folks were doing. They're saying, look, we're the children of Israel. We're Judah. We're God's people. He's delivered us out of Egypt. He brought us out of Egypt. He brought us into the promised land. He's delivered us time and time and time and time again. We can live any way we want to live. We're okay. He delivered us. And Jeremiah's coming and saying, no, 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 no. No, no, you steal, you murder, you bear false witness, you worship Baal, you commit adultery during the week, and then you come in here on the Sabbath day and you say you're going to worship me, and that you're delivered to do all of these abominations. They thought they were worshiping. But God said, no, you're not. I'm not going to accept that type of worship. I don't want your sacrifices. I want a pure, obedient heart. Look, that's like some individuals. They come and they put money in the offering plate and they think that covers everything. And God says, and we're going to see it in just a moment, but God says, look, I don't want your sacrifices. The first thing I want is you. The first thing I want is a pure heart, is a right heart, is an obedient heart. So how do we go forward and not backward? Number one, we acknowledge our wickedness. Judah never did that. Verse number 11 says, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. This is what I mentioned just a moment ago, verse 12. But go ye now into my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. By the way, this is one thing that burdens my heart today. I believe God has been calling and speaking to our nation for months and years, and we're not listening. How is it that we can go through whatever you want to call it, if you want to call it a pandemic or whatever, how can we go through something like we've been through over the past 6 months and people still not darken the door of God's house? Because we're not listening. He says in verse 13, he says, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. Number one, we need to acknowledge our wickedness. That was true for them. And by the way, that may be true for us tonight. I don't know your heart. I only know my heart. I don't know what's in your heart tonight. I don't know if you walked in these doors with a right heart, an obedient heart, or if you just came because that's what you always do. And your heart hasn't been right with God for weeks and months. I don't know your heart tonight. But it may be tonight, if you're going to go forward, and by the way, all of us want to go forward, don't we? Amen. Every single, look, whether it's spiritually, whether it's in our jobs, whether it's with our families, whether it's with our finances, every single one of us want to go forward. We don't want to go backward. If we're a Christian, we don't want to go back into sin. God has saved us out of sin. We don't want to go back into that. In our physical lives, we want to go forward. In our finances, we want to go forward. We want to do better. We want to do better. We don't want to go backward. No. How do we do that? First of all, we acknowledge our wickedness. Secondly, we've already read it. We acknowledge our wickedness. Secondly, we amend our ways. We amend our ways. We read it in verse number 3. By the way, somebody tell me, what does it mean to amend? It means to correct. It means to make right. If you file a tax return and that tax return is not filed correctly, you have to file an amended tax return, don't you? Yeah, because you have to correct it. You have to make it right. That's what the word amend means. It means to correct. It means to make right. And so how do I go forward in my Christian life, in my spiritual life? Well, first of all, the first step, and this is always true, I have to acknowledge my wickedness. By the way, you say, Pastor, I don't commit adultery. I don't murder. I don't steal the way it's talking about in Jeremiah chapter 7. I don't do any of that. Okay, well, let me ask all of us, how many gods do we have in our lives? You see, that one gets all of us. Now, it's not, we say it so many times, it's not the graven image that's carved out of wood. It's not the molten image that's cast in a fire and made out of metal. It's not what we're talking about tonight. Probably none of us have any of those in our homes tonight where we bow down, get on our knees and bow down to them. But we've said it, we say it over and over and over again. Anything that takes the place of God is an idol in my life. Do we know tonight? I think we do. Do we know that our children can become idols in our lives? When our children and their children, they don't have all the wisdom they need yet. When our children and their foolish desires take precedence over God, then our children have become an idol. And it could be anything tonight. It could be our job. It could be our spouse. I've told you many times, I went to Bible college. And by the way, I didn't go to Bible college to be a preacher. I went to Bible college to be an accountant. That's what I felt like God wanted me to do. And I did that for about 10 years until the Lord got a hold of my heart and wanted me to be a preacher. I went to Bible college to be an accountant, but I knew many young men at Bible college who, when they were in Bible college, said they were called to preach. And here's the truth. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. Sometimes mamas call their sons to preach, and that's not right. Sometimes daddies call their boys to preach, and that's not right. God needs to call them. But I knew a number of young men who were there. They were going to be a preacher. They were going to be a missionary or whatever the case would be. And they got married shortly after college. And their wife didn't want to be in the ministry. And so they didn't go into the ministry. Now, maybe they weren't supposed to. I don't know. But if they were and they didn't, then that spouse became an idol. Because that spouse kept that individual from doing what God had called him to do. You see, so we may not murder, we may not commit adultery, although doesn't Matthew 5 raise the bar for us as men? Doesn't it, men? The Bible says if we even look upon a woman to lust after her in our hearts, we've already committed adultery with her. So what about that one? We must amend our ways. We must, first of all, we acknowledge the sin, we acknowledge the wickedness, we acknowledge that we have problems. And then when we acknowledge that, then we say, okay, I understand I have problems, I understand I have things I need to get right. Then we make them right. Then we confess them, we repent of them, and we amend our ways. We get things right with God. By the way, all of us have to do that at times, don't we? Whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, whenever. We have times, oh, Lord, I looked at that. I shouldn't have looked at it. Boy, I said something I shouldn't have said. I thought something I shouldn't have thought. I was sharp with my spouse, and I shouldn't have been that way. I was critical with my children, and undeservedly, God forgive me for that. We acknowledge our wickedness because we want to go forward, and then we amend our ways, whatever it may be. And that's what he says in verse number 3. Look there again if you would. He said, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." Again, he says, "I will cause you to dwell in this place. I will cause this house, this place of worship, to stay." How do we go forward and not backward? We acknowledge our wickedness. Secondly, we amend our ways. And then thirdly, and this really encapsulates the other two. Thirdly, we must acknowledge our wickedness. We must amend our ways. But thirdly, we must attend to God's Word. Verse number 24, where we began. "But they hearkened not, nor inclined." There's the word attend, to give attention, to hearken, if you will, to observe. "Nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Now back up to verse number 21, if you will. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices, and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices." He said, look, I'm not concerned as much about the burnt offerings and the sacrifices that you bring to this place, that you bring to this temple. I'm not as much concerned about that as I am about your heart. Would you notice verse 23? And this is really the crux probably of the whole chapter. "But this thing commanded I them, saying." What's the next word? Obey. Obey. "Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." Does God want us to sacrifice? Absolutely. We just spoke about it recently. Romans 12, 1. What does he say? He wants us to present ourselves, our bodies, a living sacrifice. So does he want sacrifice? Absolutely. Does he want us to sacrifice in our lives? Absolutely. Think about David. Brother Paul Crowe mentioned a few weeks ago when he was here. David, when he is coming to build the altar after the plague, and he's going to buy Ornan's threshing floor, and he comes and he says, "Look, I'll just give it to you, King David." And what did he say? He said, No. He said, "I will not offer to God anything that doesn't cost me something." Does God want our sacrifice? Absolutely. But more than that, He wants an obedient heart. And see, that's what He's saying at the beginning. He's talking about these people. Jeremiah is standing in the gate, and these people are coming in to worship. They're coming into the temple to worship. But they're not right with God. Their hearts aren't right. We would think, man, what's Jeremiah doing at the temple? And by the way, that's probably what all these folks thought. What's Jeremiah doing at the temple? We're coming to worship. Doesn't he know we're coming to worship? And he's standing out there preaching to us? Yeah, because your heart's not right. You go into that temple week after week after week, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath, and you bring your sacrifices, you bring your offerings, but you never get your heart right. You never leave with your heart right. How do we go forward and not backward? We acknowledge our wickedness, and then when we acknowledge it, we amend it. We amend our ways, and both of those are wrapped up in attending to God's Word. Because see, if I don't give attention to God's Word, I'm not going to do the other two. And that's what they weren't giving attention to God's Word. And because they weren't giving attention to God's Word, they weren't doing the other two. He said in verse 23, he said, "This thing commanded I, obey my voice And I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear. What did they do? They didn't acknowledge their sins. What did he say in verse number 13? He said, time after time after time after time after time, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking. I came to you time after time after time after time, but you heard not, but you answered not. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. And went backward and not forward. And notice what happens because of that. Notice what happens. Notice God's condemnation, if you will. Notice His indictment, if you will, because they went backward. Verse 25, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. He says the same thing again that he said in verse 13. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. We want to go forward, we need to attend to God's Word. We need to listen to it. We need to incline our ear. We need to give attention to it. Yet they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. Notice this. They did worse than their fathers. I told our teenagers, I said, look, I don't know what kind of homes all of you live in. You may not have perfect homes. And I told our teenagers, look, your mom and dad aren't perfect. They'll be the first one to tell you that. I'll be the first one. My kids know I'm not perfect. Okay, but don't use that as an excuse to do worse than your parents. Well, my parents aren't perfect. So, they know that. They're working on it. They're trying. They're striving. But just because they don't use that as an excuse to do worse than your fathers. Do better. Want to go forward instead of going backward. Your fathers went backward. Go forward. Therefore, verse 27, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. Jeremiah, he's telling Jeremiah, look, you're going to preach and you're going to preach, but they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Notice that phrase there. What does it say? Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of His wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. All of that because they went backward instead of going forward. And by the way, we studied the book of Lamentations a couple years ago, and we saw everything that is mentioned here in the end of Lamentations 7. Everything came to pass because they went backward and not forward. Okay, how do I go forward in my spiritual life and not go backward? I acknowledge my wickedness. When I have sin, I need to acknowledge it. I don't need to justify it. I need to acknowledge it. Okay, then when I acknowledge it, I need to amend it. I need to amend my ways. I need to acknowledge my wickedness. I need to amend my ways. And then I need to, and this maybe should come first, I need to attend to God's Word. Because when I attend to God's Word, that'll help me to acknowledge and that will help me to amend. Hey, notice what he says in verse number 16. We didn't read verse number 16. Verse number 15, he says, "And I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim." Notice verse 16. Look what he says to Jeremiah. "Therefore pray not thou for this people." Wow. Can you imagine? He says, don't even pray for them. Jeremiah, stop praying for them. "Neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods that they may provoke me to anger? Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast and upon the trees of the field and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. And went backward and not forward." And went backward and not forward. Here's the truth tonight. Some might be here tonight and say, "Pastor, you know, I've done some things in my life and I've gone backward at times." Well, let me ask you, which direction are you going right now? I'm not asking about your past. Okay, that's not what I'm asking you about. Every single one of us could come and give testimony tonight that there are things that we have done in our past that we're not proud about. We wish we had done a little bit differently. I'm not asking about your past. If your past is under the blood of Christ, it's under the blood of Christ. Now, if it's not, and you've never dealt with that, then you need to get it under the blood of Christ. You need to pray. You need to confess. You need to get that right with God. But I'm not asking about your past tonight. I'm asking you about right now. When you came in these doors tonight, did you come in these doors with a heart ready to worship? With a heart that was right with God? With a heart as best you know, you're right with God, you have things right with God, there's not any unconfessed sin, there's not any sin that you're hiding from God. By the way, we can't hide it from God, can we? But that we're trying to cover up and keep from God? Or did we come in here, did we walk in here tonight as best we know, right with God? And if we did, and if you did, then we're moving forward. You see, here's what the devil wants to do. The devil would want to take a message like this and bring up something from 20 years ago that you've already gotten right with God. He's good at doing that, isn't he? I tell you, it's amazing to me. Sometimes I'll be studying, or I'll be lying in bed, or whatever it may be, and the devil will bring something up. I'm like, "Man, what are you doing?" That's under the blood. That was confessed 20 years ago. But boy, the devil's good at bringing that back up and bringing it up. No, that's not what we're talking about tonight. You see, God is ever present, and God was ever present with the people of Judah. He sent Jeremiah that day to the gates of the temple to preach to them right there, but they wouldn't listen. He preached to them that day. God wanted them to get right that day, but they wouldn't listen. And so I do ask, did I come in here tonight with something hidden in my heart? If I did, I need to get that right. Because if I did, I'm going backward and not forward. I'm doing worse than my fathers. I'm not doing better. You see, God wants us to advance. He wants us to go forward, not backward. What helps us to go forward? Acknowledging, amending, and attending to the Word of God. Let's do that. By the way, let's help our young people to do that. Let's help our kids and our grandkids to do that. Don't cover up their sin for them. Make them acknowledge their sin. Make them acknowledge it. Help them to get it right. And by the way, when they get it right, don't hold it over their heads. When they get it right, don't stay mad at them. No, it's done. God doesn't do that to us. He's merciful. He's gracious. When we get things right, He doesn't hold it over our heads. When our kids get things right, then let's help them to go forward. Instead, well, do you remember what you did a month ago? Now, by the way, sometimes we may have to go back and ask them, hey, how are you doing with this? That's not bad. There was something several months ago I dealt with one of our children, and I told him, I said, look, I'm going to keep coming back to you and asking you how you're doing, because I don't want you to slip back. That's okay. But let's don't hold it over their heads. That's in the past. Let's go forward. See, that's backward. Let's go forward. And we go forward when we listen to God's word. Let's don't be like Judah. And God sent person after person after person after person after person. And the Bible says they just, it's like they were like, I'm not going to listen. And they didn't. Let's listen. Let's attend to God's word. Amen. And let's help each other to go forward as well. All right, let's pray. We'll be dismissed. It's about 5 till. And so thankful. I just want to say thank you to Brother Chris for doing the song service and prayer time before church each Wednesday night. I'm thankful for that. Appreciate that very, very much. And so thankful for all of our folks. Let's pray tonight. And we'll be dismissed, okay? Let's stand to our feet. We'll pray. We'll be dismissed tonight. Sharissa, right? Yes, sir. Hey, I hope you got around to meet Sharissa tonight. Sharissa or Shariza? Sharice. I put the on it. Sharice. If you didn't get around to meet her tonight, I hope you do before they leave. And it's so good to have you tonight. Thank you for coming. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Look forward to seeing everybody on Sunday. And let's pray and ask God to help us to walk and move forward. Amen. Amen. Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful for your goodness to us. And Father, we do pray that you would help us to incline. You would help us to hearken. You would help us to listen to your word. Father, if necessary, I pray that tonight we might acknowledge some things in our lives that aren't right with you, whatever it may be. It may not be anything gigantic, maybe like was listed here, murder, stealing, adultery, all those things, but maybe we have some gossip in our lives. Maybe we have some bitterness in our lives that we need to get right. Maybe we have something that some might call simple sins or little sins, but Father, they're still sin in your sight. And so, Lord, I pray that we would deal with things, we'd get them right. And Father, I pray that we'd listen to your word and go forward. Father, give us safety as we go to our homes tonight. Watch over us. Bring us back together on Sunday, Lord, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. And we just pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.